It comes from 2 Kings, the 19th chapter. And the title of our sermon is Lacking Power to Give Birth. Lacking Power to Give Birth. A lot of us in here hadn't given birth. A lot of us in here are strong along with our wives. And our wives has a certain strength that God had given them. A lot of times you can do all within your power that God had given you to nourish up, nourish your body, nourish the body of Christ, nourish the people around you to take care of your family. But then there's that extra that's needed that's outside of you to deliver that which you have grown or produced or seeded, that which you had sown. We raise up our children to be whatever profession that God had put in them to be. We raise them as law-abiding citizens, and we teach them the words of God, hoping that they would go out and do the will of God. But for whatever they become in our life, we've done our best. We are helpless to change what that child is or what he becomes. A lot of things is in the hands of God. It has to be in the hands of God. Hezekiah seen this morning that with all he had done, all of the work and the necessary things of walking in the Lord, it was time for the Lord to do his part because he was helpless at that time. A woman, if she admits to herself and admits to others that as much as she desired to give birth, when it comes time for that delivery, that's why God's name is called in a delivery room more than anything else. And I can probably hear the screams, and I wouldn't want to be in the delivery room. But they're going to say, oh my God. They will realize that in pain and sorrow that they give birth to children, as he said. At that time, unless she's under some strong sedative or painkiller, the words, oh my God, are going to appear upon her lips. Because it's going to be a life-shattering experience, something that she needs something to help deliver that life into the world. A lot of times women get to that threshold and can't deliver, and they die during childbirth. That was so significant in those days that a lot of women died in childbirth. We have one of our own matriarchs that died in childbirth. Anyone remember her? It was Rachel. It was Jacob's beloved. In the iconic statement that she made, she says, give me children, lest I die. She was the mother of Joseph. But ironically, she died in childbirth while having her younger son, Benjamin. But here, we're talking about the church. Do we have power to give birth to deliverance? Do we have power this day? Or do we need to do like Hezekiah and humble ourselves and look unto the Lord because we've done all we can? Sometime in a marriage, a spouse will do all they can for another spouse. They just have to put it in God's hand because enough is not good enough for some spouses. Enough is not good enough for some children. You've worked on a job all you can work. Enough is not good enough for some employees or employers. They've paid you the most that they can pay you, or they've worked the most and you've not paid them as much as you should. They've accomplished the job and you still, that's not enough. It's still something personal. That's when we need God. Sometimes we are helpless or in helpless situations. Hezekiah's prayer. It says, and it came to pass when Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of God. He sent Eliakim, and they went to talk. See, Hezekiah was at a point, I tell you, where he had did all he could do. After these things, it says, after what things, though? Well, let's think about some of the things that were bearing in on him, because there's a lot bearing in on our lives, and we can't even tell people. We don't know what to pray for, how to pray, or whatever, because we're overwhelmed by the situation. Hezekiah was overwhelmed by this situation. If we look at 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter, whereas after these things he had established God's work and had cleansed the temple, had started Passover. If you read that complete chapter, you'll see all of the works that the people did to fortify the fortified Jerusalem and get ready for this assault that was coming, that was going on all around Hezekiah. He had prepared for this, but he was faced by overwhelming majority. Sometimes we're going to be faced by overwhelming things in our lives. Sometimes it's going to be our spouse, our children, our employer, our employee, or whatever in life, your neighbor place more on you than you can bear. You have to take that to the Lord in prayer. That's why we have to learn how to pray. We have to know how to pray. But that wasn't all that was going on right then, because Hezekiah, just like a lot of us, had made a whole lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes that every time you do good, have you tried to do good for people? Have you tried to do the right thing and people have misunderstood you and said this to you and hurt your feelings and everything? Gets you to the point where you just, as I done got older, I don't argue as much as I used to argue. I just tell people, okay. I don't try to defend myself or explain what I've done or whatever. I just take it on the cheek and says, nobody knows but God. You take it to the Lord in prayer, even with your spouse, even with people. Okay, well, let's, you know, you just pray about it. You don't ask them to let's pray about it. I go to God and pray about it. Hezekiah was like many of us here, and many of that's listening by air, that you're getting older and your health is failing. You're having problems with your health. Do you realize, if we're not looking at this the right way, that chronologically, that right at this time, a lot what Hezekiah was praying about faults he had created in his life, his health was failing him, that Isaiah had told him he was about to die? Because if he died at 50-something years old, which was an early death, we see that this was in the 14th year that of his reign that this had started to occur. We know that Isaiah must have told him that at about that time, because when Isaiah had said that God said he was going to die, he only lived 15 years after that, because he said God was going to add 15 years onto his life. So that had to be about his 14th year of reign if he came to reign when he was 25. So about midway his reign, all of this started to come upon him. And God had said, get your house in order, you're going to die. See, a lot of times, things look like it's coming. That puts a lot of us in depression. See, Hezekiah was having problems. They were external problems, but it started to weigh up on him internally. We have to watch it. And Hezekiah did as we had to do. We had to take it to the house of God. We have to take it to God in prayer. We have to know what to do. And he sent for Isaiah. He sent letters to Isaiah. And God knows. God is omniscient. He's omnipresent, all powerful. God knows what people are doing to you. God knows your spouse, what they're doing to you, what your children are doing to you, the people on your job, the people wherever you are in your neighborhood. He sees and he knows and he hears. If you look at it verbatim, Isaiah gives him back what's going on and comforts him, said, don't worry about what he's saying about me. You can't defend what day you worship on. I was just talking to the insurance lady. She was telling me, well, can I do this and mail something, give her a list of medications or whatever? I said, well, I'm on my way to church now. I'll give it back to you. She said, bless you in that. The lady in Rite Aid told me, say, well, you all dressed up this morning. I say, I'm a Saturday man. If you're ashamed of the day you worship God, if you're ashamed of what God had given you, God may be ashamed of you. You have to be ready to glorify God in all that you do. You have to tell people of the hope. That, why are you so bold in what you do? So as Hezekiah was encouraged, and we need to be encouragers. Hezekiah's prayer was one of petition to the Lord. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what's going to establish us. through prayer and supplication, nothing's too small. Take it all to the Lord. Through prayer and supplication, let that request be known to God. But see, Hezekiah was a different type person than David. You remember I said that it said that no king was like Hezekiah before him or after. Hezekiah was greater than David in a many aspects. Because I tell you, David was a man of blood. David was a hard nose. David had offered up prayers of imprecations. A lot of times now we hear preachers and people talking of these prayers of imprecations. I've listed them for you there to go back and look at it sometime. Psalms 7, 35, 55, 58, 59, 69, 79, 109, 137, and 139 contain these imprecations. Did that for the ones that are listening that don't have the prophet of our notes. But in those Psalms, David says, I wish you go in and destroy his children and pull out their teeth. I wish you would murder and destroy and pull them in half. Read some of those Psalms and see as those Psalms that we should be praying for people. See as those Psalms that we would pray. Those are the Psalms that David prayed. But not that they don't line up with the Word of God. But it's not who we are. It's not the preaching and teaching. Those are more or less Tea Party tactics. Those are more or less the kind that slander homosexuals. Those are the more or less that are haters of other people. That doesn't love their fellow man, because Jesus Christ, our leader, says, love your enemies and pray for those that despitefully use you. That's somebody's son or daughter that you talking about. We don't know how God does or what God does, but he told us to love your enemy. How can we love God if we don't love man? And he says all men speak evil of no man. So we have to stay within the bounds of God. Hezekiah's prayer more or less was specific and targeted at who? And Hezekiah, he was telling of his faults, what he had did wrong. That's what we need to do, is examine ourselves. If we would get that beam out of our eyes. It says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man would avail it much. Are you trying to get yourself right? If you have ought against your brother, before you bring your gift to the altar, you go get right with your brother. There's something we can do and God will deliver us, but we need to get right. Hezekiah did one thing in 2 Kings 19 and 9. We look at 2 Kings 19 and 9. It says, and when he had heard say of Tirzah, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messages again unto King Hezekiah. Hezekiah had sent to Egypt, and he had made a wrong alliance with Egypt. I preached to you about evil alliances, about lining up with the world. Like I said, this is not a tea party here. If you've talked and scolded your enemy while you are running in the primary, how can you go back and embrace this man and say, this is the best man for president? Hey, just a few months ago, you said that he was unstable and that he couldn't run against this man. But now you are aligning with this man to go against someone else? Sounds like an evil alliance to me. This is the man that you said that couldn't be dependent and couldn't be trusted on. We don't make those kinds of alliances with the world. And that's what Hezekiah had did. Instead of taking it to God, he had made alliances with Egypt. 2 Kings 18 and 19, and Rabshakeh said to him, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trusted? Thou sayest, but thou are vain words. Have counsel and strength for war. Now whom do you trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trusted upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, and on which of a man lean it will go through his hand. It's like leaning on a walking stick that is broken at the joint and it stabbed you in the palm of your hand. That God had told him, don't trust in man. But here he was making alliances with Egypt. That was part of his problem. And we see where Isaiah rebuked him also, because he had also showed Babylon, the king of Babylon, all the things that was in his household when God had delivered him and God had reestablished him. He had did all these things wrong. And that's why I say we all do things wrong. God is a merciful God, and it's no man that doeth not sin. But we do have an advocate with the Father. We need to confess our faults. Hezekiah confessed his faults. A lot of us don't want to confess our faults. I'm sure when Hezekiah was told by Isaiah, he did what James said do. He said, get your house in order, you shall die, Hezekiah. Hezekiah didn't go there and pray and said, Lord God, will you restore the gold back to the temple? Will you establish and get send a cherub off my back? No, at that time he turned his face to the wall and prayed to God about his sickness, about his illness. If I stand here after I preach each time I preach, I open the prayer as Deacon Hubbard opens the prayer for the opening of the church. Then we pray again as we begin to read the scriptures. I'm praying that God would work through me to deliver his word, that you would understand his word as a vessel that I could just give you God's word. But then as I close the preaching, I thank God for allowing me to speak for him, and that word that I have spoken would come alive in each and every one of you, and that he would water that word. He give it the increase. I can't give it. I can only speak what he gives me. He is the one who opens your understanding. But what if when I called Deacon Hubbard up to pray over the finances, that he started praying about the word that I've just preached? Isn't that vain repetition? Wouldn't that be vain repetition for him to do an opening prayer? Or should he pray about blessing each man for the seed sown? Blessing the return on each man for what they have given. See, that's specific prayer. We need to pray about what's the problem. What is the problem that you're going to God? Don't go to God and say, well, heal everybody in the hospital. It's reasons he had those people in the hospital sick in the first place. It's a reason you in the position you in. But you think prayer is a cure-all? He said, God hear it, not the sin of man's prayer. It's a lot of people. The problem is God has them in the position that they're in. And until they say uncle, until every knee bow to him, he's not going to answer it. We know God hears not a sinner's prayer. We know he told Jeremiah, pray not for these people. If you look in Ezekiel, if you look in Jeremiah, it's time God says, when you pray to me, I won't hear your prayer. That I'll turn my back on you. I won't smell in your assembly. I won't hear nothing you said. People think that you just could lob them prayers up there, and that prayer is a magic elixir. But we have certain guidelines for prayer. He says, when he was sick, James says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Let the elders of the church, because the elders know why you're sick if you got a problem. It might be disobedience. You might be disobeying somebody in church. You might be disobeying God. You might not be loving your brother. We look and see that pestilence and sickness is one of God's messengers, his angels, to keep you in line. We know that you may be taking communion unworthily. If you take communion and not humbling yourself to God, not saying that I'm not perfect, so I'm not going to expect perfection out of my spouse. I'm not going to expect perfection from my children, because none of us are perfect. We're depending on Jesus Christ and his word and spirit in us to do it the works. That's why it says examine yourself. So Paul says that's why many are sick and many are asleep, because you don't have the right state of mind. You don't realize what church is, that this is, you chose this way. He said, but I've chosen you. So there are things you have to do. He chose you, but you have to choose to walk in the word. You have to choose to be led by the Spirit. You have to stop yielding yourself unto the world. Stop yielding yourself, your body, your members as members of unrighteousness. Stop yielding your ears to hearing gossip. Stop hearing and doing that which is contrary to God's word. He says, and let them pray over him. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up if he's committed sin, that they shall be forgiven. If he's committed sin. See, because there are some sins that are unto death. Some sins there are to death. So we need to watch how we pray and what are we praying for. How are we praying about these things? He says, David wasn't allowed to build the house of God because of his prayers of imprecations, because of his bloodthirst, because of his bloodlust. David said that himself in 1 Chronicles 28:2. It says, then David, the king, stood up on his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and have made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and have shed blood. You have shed much blood, David. You've killed. You're a man that... See, God changes your nature when he adorns you again. And if you're not crucifying that old man, if you're not trying to rid yourself of that old nature, that old man will stick his head up. That old man, you revert to old tactics. When David seen a woman that he wanted, David slept with that woman and had a child by that woman. But then when he couldn't finagle himself out of the deal, he reverted back to that old David. He reverted back to the old man. He ended up murdering Uriah. He had Uriah murdered. He was a man of blood. That old nature's going to come out in you. I watch a lot of, I tell you, I like boxing, to see boxing. You know, boxing is a good sport, if it's boxing. I'm not talking about ultimate fighters. Those are animals, those are savages, and that's what a manager tell a guy. Say, look, I can train you up or whatever, and I'll make a boxer out of you. And you know, I was seeing Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas fight, and the animal in Mike Tyson was trying to come out. But Buster Douglas was a boxer. And I've heard Angela Dundee and some of the fine managers, when the boxers get in a fight, and this is a street fighter that's fighting, he said, now don't try that thug image. Listen to what I'm telling you. Don't turn this into a brawl. You know, a street fighter, that's his nature. He's going to turn the fight into a brawl. He's going to start street fighting in there. That's going to come out. He's angry and he's frustrated. And he's going to revert back to that style. He said, we don't want to turn this into... Don't let him get you to fighting his game, because he wants to bring out the savage in you. Satan wants to bring out the savage in you. He might work through your children to get you angry. He might work through your spouse, somebody on the job. He wants to touch that old nature. Here has a Syrian king tried to touch that old nature of Hezekiah's father that was in Hezekiah. He know Ahaz was his father. He know his father made alliances. But he didn't know Hezekiah did trust in God. We have to let people know that we do trust in God. We have to walk in God. We have to be upright with God. Or we'll revert back to the old man. So what happened was that God was listening at all that. God's listening at what's going on in your home. He knows who's right and who's wrong. God's listening at what goes on the job. God's listening wherever nothing's naked before his eye. He sees all the boasting and threatening of King of Assyria. The only comfort you have is in his word, that he's going to defend you. David reverts to that old nature. Don't be that type of person that reverts to that old nature. David was what you call a leveler. Joseph was a man of God. When Joseph made it as Pharaoh of Egypt, what did Joseph say? Says, brothers, y'all worried about me doing something to y'all, because that was their old nature. They thought after the daddy died that they would become siblings like they was, with that sibling rivalry, that he was going to have them killed, which he could have did anything. But he says, I'm in the place of God. See, when David got in the place where he can do things. See, a lot of us are like David. We David type Christians. We're Tea Party-like people. That we have that Bible in one hand and that gun in the other. And if we can get by, we can get our way. And when things going bad, we'll call on God and humble ourselves. He said, look, Shemaiah, if God told Shemaiah to curse me, let Shemaiah curse me. God must have granted him the curse. And he walked on his way. He went his way. But when David was reestablished on the throne, he told Solomon, the level us go with Shemaiah. Shemaiah was put in a catch 22. Shemaiah was put in a catch 22. But you see, David as a man, he couldn't face Joab because, like I say, Joab was a rough cookie and David was complicit in the murder of Uriah. And Joab had did things to keep David straight sometimes. God puts people tied to sometimes to keep you on that straight and narrow. But what did David do? He leveled the score with Joab. He says, don't let Joab's head, horrid head, go down to the grave in peace. Joab was a murderer. He did do wrong. But you see, we don't want to get into those kind of brawls. We don't want to get in that tight brawl. We don't want to be a person that consume things upon our own lust. See, David was married to Nabal's wife, to Abigail. David had countless number. That sex was his problem. That's what happened with Bathsheba. But when David had all these wives, do you know he went and sent for Michal back, that wife of Saul's daughter? The man was following her crying, and Joab said, you going back home. Well, he was a scared man. You know, don't come behind her crying and going on. David said, bring his wife here. Did David really need her for a wife, or was that a power play of David? You hear no more of Michal after that, because him and Michal had fell out when he came before a dancing. But that was just a power to play to show, I got authority over here. I can do this. They didn't say what Joseph had did with Potiphar's wife, the one who had caused him to be thrown in prison. We don't want to be levelers. We don't want to hold old scores. We don't want to hold grudges of what's in the past. The past is just that. Do you hear me that? The past is just that. It's the past. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind. All those things I counted but loss. All those things was to help strengthen you to bring you where God wanted you to be. God was going to use those things. Hezekiah had that type of faith to wait upon God. That's what we want to do is persevere. We don't want to work. We don't want to just sit still and not do nothing. We want to be of a good courage and live in that fortress. You remember last week's message, living in the fortress? If you abide in me and my words abide in ye, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done for you. Hezekiah didn't resort to street fight. He didn't go out and fight to fight Assyria. He warned me, he said, I'll give you 2,000 chariots if you got enough men to put on them. Let's fight this thing out. But he abided in Jesus Christ, abided in the vine. That's how you get prayers answered. He didn't review going to vain talk. See, because the king would start talking about what he did tearing down. Did he explain to him about the altars he tore down? Or say anything about how he tore these off? Why did he tear the high places down? No. The Bible tells us that. Do not give what is holy unto the dogs, nor cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn and tear you in pieces. That's what a lot of people say. Well, tell me about the Sabbath. You don't want to. I'm not going to tell you anything. Well, tell me about Christmas and Easter. I'm not going to tell you anything. The only reason you want that is for the purpose of debate. You know, you're not going to follow that. A lot of people say, well, look, show me this. If I show it to you, you're not going to follow it anyhow. That's why Jesus talked in parables. People are wanting to hear what you believe just to disprove what you believe. He didn't waste time in vain talking, striking about. You believe what you want to believe, and that's your problem. It ain't none of my problem. Jesus didn't take time with these Pharisees. He spoke to them in a way that after one time they say they durst not ask him no more questions. Because you're not asking. Don't give God's word out to everybody. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, the end is destruction. Vain words is all that the king of Assyria was doing. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. So if you do these things right, you'll receive opening from God. Be of a good courage. If we're walking the Christian walk, God's going to send someone to comfort us. And that's what the book of Psalms tells us. Commit thine ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth the righteousness as a light. He's going to establish you in all your ways. He's going to do the work. We don't have to do the work. If you would read that, that's a very comforting psalm. That's what a lot of people don't do. They don't seek the word of God. Man should live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Don't allow others to get you out of God's way. Don't let them get you into that street fight mentality. Don't let them bring the old man out. You have to die to self. Your thought life has to change. The way you're thinking, all that has to go. And I say, as Proverbs say, commit thine works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If you start practicing doing those things that we talk about, he's going to establish your thought pattern so you'll start thinking and praying in accord and in line with God's word. The way we know that our prayers are answered, can you hear me on this down straight now? From 1 John 3:22, he says, and whatsoever, the reason I tell you that, we're going to be talking about the word of faith after. We will be talking about faith after a while. And it's not faith that faith and that a lot of the faith teachers and people preach and teach today. But this is, see, Jesus has to be the what? The substance of our faith. That's the object of our faith. His word. What he had placed in us. The experience in walking with him. That's how Abraham got faith in God. He walked with God. That's how Enoch got. He walked with God. Walking is doing. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So when somebody asks me to pray about something or pray about this, I'm reluctant to hurry up and pray because I don't want to listen to unanswered prayers. I may be praying about something that's not according to God's commandments. We commandment keepers. Why should I pray and somebody's not keeping the commandments of God? They're wanting to beat their chest. They want to show me that I was wrong in this. They want to show you was wrong in that. Well, I don't have to pray about this. That's what the Hebrew boy said. We don't have to pray about this, King. He said, pray to you. Well, we don't have to pray because you want us to pray and then God could deliver us. And we don't know if God want to do that or not. We are praying according that his will be done. That's what Jesus said. Thy will, not my will. I don't want to go in this fire, but I will. I don't know if God could deliver me or not. See, that's what Satan said. Cast yourself down off this and God will pick it. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. So we have to commit our ways unto God. See, a lot of people think he'll give you the thoughts of your mind. Is your thoughts lined up with God's thoughts? See, that's what he told Solomon, because the reason I'm asking your prayer, Solomon, you hadn't asked for the death of your enemy. Is that what he told Solomon? See, David was asking for the death of his enemies. Sometimes we ask God to move his part. God might not want to move him. He might want to keep him right there to keep you like he did Paul. He said, Paul, don't come to me about this no more. My grace is sufficient. Paul said, okay, I prayed to him 3 times, but you don't hear Paul praying no more. He had given him that thorn in the flesh. He had given him that problem to keep him humble. Sometimes God may give you that enemy to keep you humble. You might get out of hand. He might be keeping you broken. You up here praying for riches and praying for that. You just don't know the devil he or she could become once she get money. Once he or she get this. A lot of time we don't know what that spouse of ours could do if they had that power authority over you. You don't know what that person might do if he become president. You don't know what that person might do that you pray and that you desire. And you better watch what you pray for. That's why by the Spirit say we know not what to pray for. We don't pray as we ought to pray. The Spirit making intercession for us. The Spirit prays for us. Don't you need somebody or something to pray for? You know, that's why I ask y'all to pray for your pastor. That's why I ask you to pray for one another. You see, and that's why we should be able to talk with one another. That's why he says, forsake not the assembling together of yourself. Because as we meet and commune, we don't want to run over each other getting out the parking lot. We don't want to have a brawl that he kept us too long and we had food or something else out of our mind. We want to, after church, commune and talk. You know, well, how's it going, sister? You didn't look too happy. What's going on? We want to know what's going on. Sometimes some people come to church because they don't have many people come visiting them. And they say, well, you know, I enjoy coming to church and I like being here because I be at home all the time by myself and nobody comes by. God may turn you into a messenger of the Lord. Then that's when you know, well, you know, sister, I didn't know that. I thought that your daughters or your sons or people came by. You mind if I come by and we just pray every once in a while that we get together and but you don't know them. See, that's how we would tell our disciples, by their love for one another. We had a memo one time that we would take to the store, go get stuff from the store. And they say, well, look, I have a problem with this. And you know what? Now, this is the kind of deacons and people I want. Well, I have a problem, my fingers and things. I can't loosen those bottles. Would you break the cap on a couple of those water bottles in the ice box for me? And that way, when I get ready to drink them, I can just drink them. I don't have to try to. Because the sister may have arthritis. The brother may have arthritis. But what you've done was a very little thing. See, the little things count in life. See, that's what God says. What you do to the least of these of mine, you've done it. You don't know what a person's needs are. They're not fit to stand up in church and testify to this. They're not fit to make this plead openly. But you need to get to know. That's what Jesus said. I want to have fellowship with you. I want you to get to know me. See, Martha was cumbered about work. She didn't hear Jesus saying, you know, that he was about to go through something. So she didn't take time in this. You know, I used to go to a couple of different old men's houses because all they wanted was someone to talk to. God says it's not good for man to be alone. And sometimes people just need somebody to talk to. Just somebody to come by there. You ever go to some people's house and they hardly won't let you leave because they keep talking? They might be alone a whole lot. You might need to start going over there, having a little fellowship. Then you can pray according to others' wills, to God's needs. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest, heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I say it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Do you know people that get their prayers answered? People love to ask you to pray for them because they think you get your prayers answered. Well, I thank God he answers my prayers. But I don't just hurl them out there. When somebody say, pray for me this and pray for me that, I stop and I say, well, what's the problem? What's going on? That's why a lot of people don't ask me things, because we don't just hurl them out there. We need to find out a little bit more about this. We need to be not like Urias. Uriah carried the note to Joab. I'm the kind of person that said, well, what's on this note? If Uriah would have opened and looked at the note would have said, he would have read the note, wouldn't have got killed, because the note said, kill a guy with the note. You know, sometimes you have to kind of be cautious on some things. So God always hears our prayer. God always hears you. And a lot of times, the reason he doesn't answer you, there are reasons he doesn't answer prayer. But believe me, he's hearing. But when he says he don't hear, he don't mean that he don't hear. He means that you're not in a position to talk with God. Paul heard the voice on the road to Damascus. If you read Acts when that happened, and then Acts the 22nd chapter and a couple other places, you'll see where some people said, well, they heard a voice, but they didn't hear what was said. In other words, only Paul heard the voice when it was speaking unto him. See, God can speak and you not hear God. When Jesus was baptized and God spoke, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the people heard that. But the Pharisees wasn't of God. And God don't contradict Scripture. He don't contradict his own Scripture. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." You can hear my preaching. You can hear my teaching. But the Pharisees said, go back and read it. They said, did it thunder? They just heard. See, the voice, you could get in there and preach and teach the Bible, but you don't have life. The Spirit is what give it life. The letter kill it. These scriptures, throughout history, the holy wars have been the worst, bloodiest wars. Religious wars have been the worst wars there ever were. So if they could give life, Jesus told the Pharisees, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. Eternal life is in the Son. And the Son giveth life to whom he will. He's that door to life. So we have to be clothed in humility. And he's a propitiation. He's the covering for our sin. Remember I said we have to be in that fortress. We have to be in Christ. So we see where Hezekiah tore his clothes. He put on sackcloth. He showed humility. He humbled himself. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. Isaiah, as it came to pass, that he was comforted. God answered his prayer, and he was relieved. Don't you feel relieved sometime after you pray or you know that God's listening after you? Sometimes you can go away empty. The Pharisee went away empty because he prayed to himself. But the publican, he went away and God heard his prayer because he said, God, be merciful to me, and a sinner. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So what can I say in conclusion to this message? As we conclude, we say, sow good seed and it will produce life. It'll produce fruit. If you sow good seed. Some of the things that my children are seeing nowadays are going on. Those are seeds they have sown early in life. It's coming back after. Some of the things my son did as a child. Me and my wife and daughter and him get together and laugh sometime. Because he's experiencing some of those same things with his children. Some of the things your parents told you years ago. They're just now seeing the fruit of those things sown. A lot of things my father and my stepfather taught me about a sound mind, about work ethics, about things in life my mother instructed me in. A lot of the fruition is coming to pass now. Jesus didn't see a large crowd when he was on the cross, but it took Christianity years to grow to the place where it is now. So we want to continue sowing good seeds. Grow not weary of well-doing and walking in the word of God. He said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. That's what you need to do. That's how Hezekiah got his prayers answered. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for transportation. God knows you need a way back and forth. God knows you need a way to work. But you don't have to be as specific and say, God, let it be an avalanche. I need to escalate. No, you need transportation. You know, when you praying for finances, when you praying, however you have to pray, if you done got yourself in a fix to where you have to pray for those things. See, because if we're living perfectly before him, if we're living strong, we won't even have to worry about those things because God has known that we have need of those things. See, but if we're wasting those resources, if we're wasting things in life, if we're not doing quite what we should be doing, if we made mistakes, we need to go back and confess those mistakes, confess those faults, and God to get them right. And don't hold on to the past and don't remind, never tell my children, you remember I told you this, I told you that. God has it on their conscience. They know. Don't you hate people to say, well, didn't I tell you that? See, sometimes you know when you're done wrong. Have you ever, I may have used this illustration before. Have you ever borrowed, say, $100 from a friend, $200 from a friend or somebody? When you go around that person, do you ever forget that? Do they have to remind you, or do you know more than that person know? If somebody owes you, you will be cognizant of it. The other illustration was, if you got in a fight with this guy, or that guy say, and the next time I see you, I'm going to beat you worse than that, and I'm going to kill you. Believe me, won't nobody have to remind you not to go around that guy. Don't go back around. Joseph's brothers learned that lesson. They told their father, Jacob, say, well, look, we're not going back over there. Didn't that man tell us that unless we bring our younger brother with us, to not come back over there? Jacob said, well, the only way I'm going to get there, because they ain't going unless I send Benjamin. I'm just going to have to go ahead and send Benjamin with him because, you know, if you, you know, God gives you fear for a right reason. There are good types of fear. As I told you when they built that monument, there are things we need to be aware of, and lest you forget. That's why Jesus would use the word behold or beware. He would tell you that there are some things, don't get careless now. Walk circumspectively. There are people out there to harm you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, that you learn us, Lord God, how to pray as your disciples ask you, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to ask you, Lord God. Teach us to look unto you. And Lord God, above all, help keep us walking and being led by your Spirit that we'll have the confidence and faith that our prayers will be answered, Lord God, that we don't ask amiss, that we don't ask to consume it on our own lust. Lord God, hear from heaven and each and every one, Lord God, that takes this message to heart, water that word and give them spiritual strength to overcome with boldness, Lord God, to walk before you and become fruitful in every good work. In Jesus' name we pray.